today on Living on Every Word.
I want to tell you, you continue to be defined by the negative things of your life, you will not find the victory and the peace that God wants to give to you as long as you're holding on to those issues and not allowing Jesus Christ to deal with them. Jesus comes to take care of the issues, comes to deal with them so you can get on to what God has for you in this life.
During the period between Jesus' bodily resurrection and his ascension, he took the time to deal with several issues his disciples were struggling with, issues we all deal with to this day. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher addresses the first of these, dealing with the issue of unbelief.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Have you ever heard the statement, that person has issues? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever overheard somebody say that about you? Yeah, not too comfortable, is it? No, we all have issues, don't we? I mean, from time to time, in the seasons of our lives, we deal with the issues of life. We deal with the issues of growing up. We deal with the issues of loss, issues of failure. We all have issues. And when we come to this passage of Scripture in John chapter 20, Jesus has risen from the dead, and in these brief few days that he has left on earth before he ascends to the Father, I want to suggest to you that he's dealing with issues. It's like he's just tying up the loose ends and dealing with some things that he really wants us to remember, really wants us to put to practice, really wants us to learn. And I think that he's dealing with the issues of his disciples and issues that you and I will walk after. Now, this morning in this passage of Scripture, we're going to look at the issue of unbelief. And we're going to look at Thomas. And next week, we're going to be looking at the issue of failure. And as Jesus restored Peter back to himself and back to ministry. And then the third week of this series, we're going to be dealing with the issue of purpose and how Christ gave the Great Commission and gave us purpose in this life. And so I want to just deal with the things of Christ's life between resurrection and between the ascension to the Father with the thought of how he dealt with issues in his disciples' life and using the same principles when we are walking in unbelief or we have walked in failure or we're just struggling with purpose in our life. John chapter 20. Let's look at it together, okay? So when it was evening on that day, verse 19, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. So the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and I put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I won't believe this. I won't believe this word. You know, it's interesting how we are a sensory people, aren't we? Senses mean a whole lot to us. I mean, we've got to touch it. We've got to see it. We've got to hear it. We've got to feel it. We've got to taste it. We've got to smell it. I mean, we've got to just use all those senses. And you know, that's what he's really saying here. I've got to touch him. I've got to see him. I've got to feel him. I've got to know. I've got to see this sign here. Or if I don't see this sign, I will not believe. I mean, very strong statement here. I'm not going to believe unless I see it. You know, Jesus really does a great thing for Thomas. For in 8 days later, in verse 26, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came. Jesus coming, the doors having been shut, stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then immediately he says to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but be believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you've seen me, have you now believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." We speak much of faith at Cottonwood. Matter of fact, the scripture speaks much of faith. Is that right? Why? Because faith is a core value of the kingdom. I mean, when you look at scripture, you see that without faith, there's no entering into relationship with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, according to Hebrews 11. Without faith, there should be no expectation for answered prayer, according to James 1. Without faith, you're already judged, is what Jesus says in John 3:18. And without faith, you miss God's rest, Hebrews chapter 3:19. But take those statements and turn them around, if you would. By faith, we enter into relationship with God. Amen? You know, I think that most of us believers, we really don't have a problem not believing that, do we? I mean, there's some seasons of doubt and some seasons of insecurity. But for the most part, we as believers believe that Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago for our sins. And that as we put our trust in Him to believe that He is going to save us from our sins and we'll have eternal life and we'll never perish, we as Christians, we don't have a real big struggle with that. I mean, we struggle with a lot of things, but we feel like our faith is secure in that, don't we? But it comes to this other thought of living life out through circumstances, living life out through difficulties, living life out with a faith is what we all struggle with. And so I think, you know, by faith we enter in relation with God. By faith we please God. By faith we can expect answered prayer. By faith we're not judged, the scripture says. By faith we enter into God's rest. Prayers of faith raise up those who are sick. By faith, the enemy's fiery arrows are extinguished. You believe in Christ, and from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. When I look at faith, it says that you receive eternal life. Believe and you'll receive forgiveness of sins. Believe you'll never be disappointed. Believing results in righteousness. Believe and you overcome the world. We know in Hebrews that by faith, men conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. By faith, men obtained promises. By faith, they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire. By faith, escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, men and women from weakness are made strong. By faith, men and women become mighty in war. By faith, folks put foreign armies to flight. And by faith, the scripture says, women even received their dead by resurrection. You know, all those statements about faith, core value of faith and trust and believing in God, especially in the difficult moments, in the difficult times, the uncertain times. That's what we're talking about, really. I mean, you're looking at the end of everything in the mind of the disciples. Even though Jesus has been saying over and over, "I'm going to rise again. After 3 days, I'm going to rise again." But they're devastated. I mean, they're just devastated. They've placed 3 years of their lives into this man named Jesus. They believe and have confessed that He is the Son of God. He has heard them say that He is God. And all of a sudden, now He's dead and He's in a tomb. And they're struggling. I'm going to tell you, there's an issue here, and it's an issue of unbelief. But Jesus comes to take care of the issues. Comes to deal with them so you can get past them. So you can get on to what God has for you in this life. Because I want to tell you, you continue to be defined by the negative things of your life and the issues that that brings. I want to tell you, you will not find the victory and the peace and the glory that God wants to give to you as long as you're holding on to those issues and not allowing Jesus Christ to deal with them. I want to tell you, allow Jesus to deal with them, especially in this area of unbelief. It's like those struggles, I mean, it's not that we don't struggle, but I'm telling you, the strongholds just fall one by one like dominoes. Don't you want that to happen in your life? Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this, and there's some principles here. Now, look at verse 26 for a moment, okay? Now, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and this time, Thomas is with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then immediately he says to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side.
and do not be unbelieving, but be believing.
Isn't that a great statement?
Quit being unbelieving. Quit acting like an unbeliever, but be a believer. Be believing, be found believing. And then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see, and yet they believed."
There's a couple of principles that I want to talk about in this passage of Scripture. The first principle that deals with the believer or the unbeliever, or the believer who's having a hard time believing. Okay, that's the first one, okay? In other words, this is a principle for you and for me. This is what Jesus does for us. It's the first principle. And I think when I look at this whole passage, the principle for me is, in my faith and in my trust and my relationship with God, I'm going to choose to not need a sign to believe. The signs are good. I mean, the Bible says that signs and wonders follow, okay? Hear what I'm saying. But I'm going to choose not to need a sign to believe my great God. In other words, I'm not going to chase the sign and try to find the sign or the wonder. I'm going to let the sign and the wonder find me. And I want to tell you, that's so wonderful. You're seeking God. You're seeking His face. I mean, I see that with Job. I mean, Job said, "Though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to chase for a sign." I mean, matter of fact, if I was looking for signs, I would think that you just hate me. I would just think that, man, all the things that are happening to me right now, but I'm not going to choose to believe that. I don't need a sign to believe. And I don't want to be a man that chases signs, because I want to tell you, the Bible says that an evil and unbelieving generation asks for signs. And I think that's what happens here, that God just says, "Listen, I just want you to believe." I mean, the whole thing about faith is that we don't walk by sight. We are a people who believe regardless of what's happening in our lives. No, an evil generation seeks a sign. I mean, that's in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Jesus just fed 4,000 people. A couple of loaves of fish. Gave a great sign, by the way. A great wonder. Pharisees on the other side of the lake approach him and say, "Give us a sign so we can believe." And they were doing this to test him. "We want a sign." He said, "Yeah, I'm not going to give you a sign." An evil generation, an unbelieving generation asks for signs. So I'm not going to give one. And you know, I think that's really, really what we ought to be about. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. An evil generation seeks a sign. And you know, I just ask the question, what is it in my heart that I really need to be about? And I'm just telling you, it all boils down to me in this issue of faith. I need to be believing. No matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place, but pressing in to my great God. Now, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16. And this is a great passage of Scripture on this thought. And there's a lot of different contexts in this passage of Scripture and a lot of different lessons. But I want you to look at verse 19 and look at it from the perspective of a sign, okay? Verse 19 says, "There was a rich man. He habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores." That's not a pretty sight, is it? I mean, I tell you what, that is a very graphic sight. And I don't know how this rich man could walk by this man day after day after day, until one day maybe it just became so familiar he didn't see it, you know. Perhaps this rich man has become so familiar with it that he's ignored him and he continues to ignore him. The Scripture says that the poor man died, was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. "And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and he said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. I'm in agony in this flame.' And Abraham said, 'Child, do you remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things, but now he's being comforted here and you are in agony? And besides all of this, between us and you there's a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. I have five brothers,
And I'm asking you to go to them, him, send Lazarus in order that he may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If they see Lazarus, certainly they've seen him. Certainly they knew he died because they saw him at my gate every day. Certainly they know of this guy dying. And if he comes back from the dead, surely they will believe him. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. People who want a sign end up inevitably not believing. I mean, think about it. 1 Corinthians 15:5. After he appeared, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. And then most of them remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. How many in one time? 500. 500 people. I mean, thousands of people were fed by the miracles of God. Whole towns were healed by Christ. And yet you come to the end of his life when he rises from the dead. How many people are in the upper room waiting? 120? Where are all the thousands of people who saw the signs? Who saw the wonders? Who experienced this grace of God in their day? No, evil generation seeks a sign. And you know what? If you seek a sign and you get one, you're just going to need another one. I've just seen it over and over. Just need another one. Need something better, something bigger, something more exciting. See it all the time. And therefore, we don't seek signs. We seek Jesus and we believe him. I think it's a lesson here. That we don't live by signs. We don't live by wonders. We live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why is that? Because when I have the word, the Bible says that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Don't need a sign. You know, that's what Jesus says to it. He says, listen, you know, Thomas, be believing. Put your finger and see my hands. Verse 27, we're back in John 20. He says to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands and reach here your hand and put it into my side and do not be unbelieving, but be believing. I just think this is it. Just be believing. You know, I don't think there's anything difficult about that. I just think, hey, Jesus says it, just be believing and not unbelieving. Quit being unbelieving right here. But be believing, because that's who you are in Christ. You're a believer in Christ. No matter what that circumstance is, no matter what that situation is, I'm going to believe my great God. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, he said it to Thomas. Why wouldn't he say it to us? Remove the fear, remove the worry, remove the anxiety, remove the stress by just being believing. By just being believing. And you know what? You can do that. We can all do that by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Just be believing. You know, now here's the second thought. Always be ready to embrace what Christ has said. Always be ready to embrace what God has said. I think about all that Jesus Christ had said to these disciples. And one of the great things they said to them, he says, just remember this, that I'm going to die, and 3 days later I'm going to rise again. He said it a number of times. I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to rise again. They shouldn't have been locked in the closet. They should have been believing. But yet they were walking in fear. And I just say, always be ready to embrace what Christ has said. And you know, I think that that's what I like about this statement. Because I love the thought of being as opposed to just doing. You know, be believing. That's the crux of faith. You know, John 3:16, that wonderful passage of Scripture, the one that we memorized the earliest in our lives. Look what it literally says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the one believing into him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Be believing. It's a present tense. It's something that I do today. It's not something that I do when I was just 8 or 10 or 15 or 27. It's something that I'm believing today. He has sent his begotten Son, and I'm believing into him, and I have this great promise that I will not perish, but I'll have eternal life. Just be believing. Quit being unbelieving.
And Thomas makes this great confession, "My Lord and my God." But then Jesus says, "Because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You know, I think there's a second principle in all of this. And it's how Jesus deals with the issue of unbelief. First principle deals with the heart, deals with the unbelief. Second principle, I believe, deals with Jesus dealing with this unbelief. And here's a couple of things. Number one, Jesus to the believer always shows up. Okay? Jesus always shows up. If you're a believer, he always shows up. Now, and it may not be just on the perfect timing of your life that you think it ought to be, but when you look in hindsight, you know what? It was always the right time, wasn't it? Always. Jesus shows up. He shows up to Thomas. I love how he does it 8 days later. Appears to him, man. Doors are shut, and all of a sudden he's in their midst. He shows up. And here's the thought. If you're going through a struggle right now, and you're going through a disappointing season, guess what? You're a believer in Christ, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. Second thing that I see in this passage of Scripture is that he always speaks. If he shows up, he's going to speak. And his words are the wonderful words of life. Is that right? He speaks. He speaks his word. And you know, I want to be in that kind of posture of just always, always wanting to embrace what Jesus has said. And you know, when you look at Jesus appearing to the disciples in verse 21, when he comes to them the first time and Thomas isn't there, Jesus says to him, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, the first thing that Jesus spoke was peace. It was a cultural term for the Jew to greet one another with the word shalom. Okay? And that's what he's doing. Shalom. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you. God's peace be on you. And there's something great about this Jesus, this Son of God, for when he speaks, it's power in that speech. And when he comes and says, "Peace be to you," you better believe that you're going to have peace when you hear that. Because I want to tell you, when Jesus speaks it and when he says it, whether you believe it or not, it ought to settle it. It just ought to settle it. And that's the first thing he does. God wants you to have peace. It's the whole point of the cross, reconciling you to God so that you can have peace with him and peace in your life. When Jesus shows up, he's going to bring his peace with him, okay? And I'm going to need his peace, because if I don't think God's around and I'm in this turmoil and I'm in this struggle, I don't have peace. I'm a nervous wreck. But listen, if I'm waiting for Jesus to show up, guess what? There's a calm. There's a trust. And all of a sudden, he comes, maybe in that moment, and just gives you the peace. The circumstances haven't changed, but all of a sudden, he comes. Peace be unto you. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes along and says shalom, you get to receive it into your spirit. When I think of peace, I think about this wonderful, wonderful thought that says that I have peace through the cross of Jesus Christ. That through the blood of Christ, he has reconciled me to him. And that is that peace that I have with God, but it's also a peace that comes to my soul and to my heart. It's the sign that chases you. It's the sign and the wonder that chases you. Because there's times when God overwhelms you with peace and the world says, "How in the world can you respond this way of all the things that are happening in your life? How can you be so peaceful?" It's a sign. It's a wonder. I sought God. He came through. He showed up and he spoke to my heart. And then through that word, I got this wonderful peace. Peace be unto you. The second thing that Jesus does and speaks is he gives purpose. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I'm giving you peace. It's peace with God. And now I'm going to give you purpose. And the purpose is just as God sent me to this place, I'm going to send you somewhere. I'm going to send you. And you know, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, notice what it is that we proclaim. "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace," and brings good news of what? Happiness. "Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God is Lord."
Listen, God comes, He gives you peace, and then He gives you purpose. And it doesn't matter what you do in this life, no matter what you do, I'm just going to tell you, it's your platform in your jobs, in your communities, the people that you see, the people who your kids play with and do sports with, to announce peace, to bring good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Let me ask you, is there a need for happiness in your life? Yeah. Is there a need for happiness in people around you? Yeah. And what is the purpose? Just to go announce it. Announce that there's good news in Christ. The one that gives you peace. The one who gives you joy. Now, what's the fourth thing he does? Speaks the word, gives you this peace, gives you this purpose, and then he does this. He gives you a spirit. I have the spirit of the living God living in me to empower me to fulfill the purposes of God. And that's to walk in peace, to reflect his nature in his life, and to proclaim this news of happiness and this joy that Christ has given us. God has given us everything we need in this life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Issues of unbelief. We all deal with them. Every one of us. I look at my days my weeks, and how often I look back over my week and I saw turmoil. I saw doubt. I saw unbelief. Yet I have a God that comes to deal with that. And I just trust Him. I just trust Him. I mean, my word, He's given us the Spirit, His Spirit, to respond and live like Him. I can't do it on my own. Need Him. I want to ask you. You may be in a place where you're waiting for God to show up. It's not a very bad place to be when you're a believer in Christ. Thomas needed Jesus to show up. And maybe he's just doing that right now for you. The small whisper that says, daughter, I'm here. Son, I'm here. I'm here. And I have you in the palm of my hand. I've never let you go. And I never will let you go. Because I love you. And I'm your father. And I'm a good father. Maybe you need to hear that whisper today. That reminder, the word. Maybe you need the peace of God in your life, your marriage, your circumstances. Maybe you'll hear Jesus say today, peace be unto you. He'll show up. He'll speak. Speak His peace. Speak His purpose. Speak the Spirit of God on you to fulfill the very purposes of God. We serve a great and awesome God who shows up and speaks to deal with our issues. Will you let Him do that today? Will you let Him do that today? Oh God, I praise You and bless You for this wonderful gift called faith. I can't conjure it up. I can't work it out. It comes from You. And I want to thank You for that today. Lord, I look over my life and I see all the places that You showed up. And I know so many in this room today can look back and see in really difficult days how You showed up and how You spoke. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that You might come and speak peace upon this body today. That You come and speak peace upon every individual. Give us hope today. Give us faith today, Lord. Give us just this absolute total sense that You're in our lives accomplishing what You desire to accomplish. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on